Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be sharing a true story about a young boy who never celebrated Christmas until a kind-hearted stranger befriended him and taught him about the giving spirit of the holiday. My guest will be Christopher Award-winning author Laura Schroff, who'll tell us about her new children's book, An Invisible Thread Christmas Story. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. It was 1986 when Laura Schroff decided to buy lunch for an 11-year-old boy named Maurice, who asked her for spare change on a New York City street. As Laura learned about Maurice's abusive father and drug-addicted mother, she came to admire the boy's indomitable spirit and even saw a reflection of her own past with an alcoholic father. That one lunch evolved into a mutually healing friendship, and the two remain close friends today. Laura originally shared her story in the Christopher Award-winning memoir, An Invisible Thread, which became a New York Times bestseller. And now she's written an illustrated book for kids called An Invisible Thread Christmas Story, which focuses on the way she opened her heart and home to Maurice during the holidays and how they taught each other about the season's giving spirit. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Laura Schroff. And Laura, thanks so much for being on the show today.
It's absolutely my pleasure. I am beyond honored and beyond touched, so thank you.
Well, now, in my introduction, I mentioned that you met Maurice on the street when he was asking for spare change for food, but give us some more details about that day. What made you stop and engage him?
Well, I met Maurice back in 1986, and as I was walking up Broadway, he said to me, "Excuse me, lady, do you have any spare change? I'm hungry." And my initial reaction was to say no, and I walked away. Mm-hmm. And as I walked away, I stopped, and the words that resonated with me were the words that I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. And I went back to the boy, and I said to him, "I don't want to give you any money." I said, "But if you're hungry," I said, "I will take you over to McDonald's, and I will get you something to eat."
Yeah.
Now, Maurice was pretty surprised, because more often than not, people treated him as if he were invisible, and was surprised when I actually even offered to take him to lunch.
Yeah.
And we went to lunch, and we realized that we lived only two blocks apart, yet we came from these two vastly different worlds.
Wow. Well, now, as a lifelong New Yorker myself, I'm used to seeing homeless people on the streets asking for change, but I don't recall seeing a lot of kids doing that. Was that unique at the time in 1986?
You know, back in 1986, unfortunately, the city had so many homeless people, but mm-hmm. this was the first time I'd ever seen a child alone by himself asking for spare change. And that was really pretty heartbreaking to me.
Sure, sure. Well, what did you learn about Maurice that first day, that first lunch at McDonald's?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I looked at this kid, and I could tell that he was a really good kid who was just stuck in a really hard, bad world. When I asked where he lived, he told me he lived at the Bryan Hotel, which was a shelter hotel, only, again, two blocks from where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he went to school, and that first time that we met, he actually painted a picture that he had seen really on TV. I said, "Well, does your mom work?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Oh." I said, "Well, you know, what does she do during the day?" He said, "Well, she vacuums and cleans." And so later on, I found out that he had gotten that actually from the Leave It to Beaver show. So it really wasn't until we started to develop a friendship that I began to really understand how difficult his life was at 11 years old.
Sure, sure. I'm talking to Laura Schroff about her book, An Invisible Thread Christmas Story. Laura is also a Christopher Award winner for the adult book version of An Invisible Thread, which won a Christopher Award a few years ago. Now, you know, you're a successful advertising executive at the time in your life, and it might not seem that you had a lot in common with Maurice. So were you drawn to him because his life was so different from yours, or were there some similarities underneath?
You know, I think that there are things that happen in our lives that happen for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt that at the time, you know, I had always wanted to have a family of my own, and it was not meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that, you know, God works in strange ways, where he did put Maurice into my life because he knew he needed someone to care for him. And for me, I was looking for more in my life than just work. Mm-hmm. And I think that we were brought together for that very specific reason. But our lives were very different. But in some ways, they were similar because I, too, came from a challenging childhood.
Okay.
In comparison to Maurice.
Yeah. Well, what kind of challenges did you deal with growing up?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I came from a very, very loving home. But my father was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when he drank, his darkest demons came out.
Mm.
And he would become really violent with my mother and also with my poor younger brother, Frank.
Yeah.
But the big difference between my life as a child growing up and Maurice's is I did come still from a very loving home. My mother was enormously strong and faithful, and she was really the glue to the family.
Yeah.
I never had to worry about where my next meal would come from.
Sure.
Or would I be sleeping in a warm bed that night.
Mm-hmm.
I might have been concerned about falling asleep because I never knew what would happen in the middle of the night.
Okay.
But unlike Maurice, I did have my mother, who was really the anchor of our family.
Yeah, okay. Well, did you, early in this relationship, did you get to meet Maurice's family at all? Like, how did they respond to you or to this relationship?
You know, it's interesting. I only met Maurice's mother and his grandmother once.
Okay.
And it was because I wanted to take Maurice to a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to take him in my car, and I was afraid to take him in my car without permission. So I wrote a permission note, and I gave it to him, and I asked him to have his mom sign it.
Okay.
And when he didn't bring the note, and he didn't show up, I went with a friend to hit the Bryan Hotel where he lived. And it was the only time that I had ever been to his hotel room,
mm-hmm.
which consisted of just two single beds, no bedding, pillows, or blankets, in one corner was a chair, and on the opposite side sat a half of a refrigerator with a television on top. And when his mother answered the door, I had never known anyone to be so addicted to drugs. I mean, you could tell that she was completely out there with drugs.
Right.
I was used to alcohol, but I was not used to drugs.
Uh-huh.
And she could barely talk. So his grandmother came to the door, and I said that I wanted to take Maurice to a baseball game, and could she signed this permission slip, and I handed her the slip with a pen, and she signed it, and she then slammed the door on my face.
Wow.
And that was really the only time I ever met them. Maurice was really concerned. He made me promise never to go back to the hotel again, that he felt that it was really dangerous for a nice lady like me.
Sure, yeah. Well, now, it's interesting. Yeah, you know, you would think a kid who grows up in that kind of environment might go down that same road, but it sounds like Maurice, there was something more grounded about him, like he saw what was wrong with that lifestyle and he wanted to be better. Is that something you saw in him?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Maurice was 11 years old, and at the time that I met him, I believe that he was shown two paths, and one path was that dark path, which would have been drugs, violence, and even potentially death or jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was the path that I wanted to try to take him down. Now, what's interesting is he didn't know of that other road, and it wasn't until he started to spend a lot of time with me and spending time with my family that he discovered there was this whole other, like, world out there.
Yeah.
That was not television, but that it was really real.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very eye-opening for him. And he was a really good kid, and I do believe that he did get a lot from his grandmother. His grandma Rose, while she was a really, really tough woman,
mm-hmm.
I think that she did instill goodness into him.
Okay. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to author Laura Schroff about her children's book, An Invisible Thread Christmas Story. Tell us about the significance of the title, An Invisible Thread.
An Invisible Thread. I love the name. You know, I have to say that my mother, she passed away when I was only 25 and at the very young age of 47. And I believe that she's been by my side every step of the way.
Mm.
And we were at a crossroads, when I say we, my co-author and I, with a name. And every name that he came up with, he didn't like, and vice versa. And I had to go to a birthday party, and I ultimately went to Duane Reade and had never bought a card in Duane Reade. And the first card I picked up was a card that said, an invisible thread connects those that are destined to meet. And I opened up the card and it said, and I'm so happy you're in my life and happy birthday. So it turns out an invisible thread is an ancient Chinese proverb.
Huh.
And it's an invisible thread connects those that are destined to meet, regardless of time, place, and circumstance. The thread may stretch or tangle, but it will never break. And I truly believe it depicts the relationship and friendship that I had with Maurice, but also so many relationships and friendships that so many people across the United States and around the world have.
Sure.
These invisible threads, these people come into our lives for a reason.
Well, what prompted you to revisit the story you told in your Christopher Award-winning book, An Invisible Thread for Adults? But you revisited this story now for children, and it doesn't really include a lot of the more seedy backstory we're talking about with Maurice's mother and everything. This is more, it's told from his point of view, even though you're writing it, which I think was a brilliant move on your part. So what prompted you to follow this road and write a Christmas book?
Well, the Christmas story was one story that really resonated with a lot of my readers. And it was because Maurice, as a child, had never had a chance to celebrate Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually Simon and Schuster thought it would be wonderful to be able to bring this story to life and to really show children how they too can make a difference during the Christmas season and the holiday season, and that some of the gifts that they get, the best ones, are the ones that don't come in a box, and how giving versus receiving during Christmas time is really important.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I think one of the best scenes in the book, those pages and the writing is you know, it's not Maurice getting a gift for the wrapped present for the first time. It's him spending time with your family, sitting around the dinner table, saying grace, talking and laughing. How did that gathering, and these are gatherings a lot of us have that we often take for granted, how did it impact him that Christmas, do you think?
Well, you know, we had gone to my sister's house right before, I would say probably 2 months into our friendship. So he had been there a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
The very first time we went to my sister's house, he went for a bike ride with my nephew, Derek. My sister has three children, and they were all about the same age, and he played on the swings. And, of course, he thought my sister's house was a mansion, even though it was not.
Mm-hmm.
But he was living in a single room. And when we were driving home, I said to him, so Maurice, I said, tell me, what was the favorite part of your day? And I really thought he would say riding a bicycle or playing on the swings. And he said to me, oh, he said, Miss Laura, he said, I love that room. And I said, what room? He said, you know, that special room where we had dinner. And I said, oh, I said, that's called the dining room. I said, why? And he said, because I never saw so many people who were so happy. He said, the food was great. He said, but I loved how everybody was laughing and talking. He said, you know, Miss Laura, he said, someday, he said, when I grow up, I want to have a dining room table just like that.
Oh.
So when you go into Maurice's apartment today, he doesn't have a living room. He has a dining room. So a Christmas dinner for him, the year before, he had spent Christmas at the Salvation Army.
Uh-huh.
And he said that he had a great Christmas. He had a warm dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to pick this teddy bear out of a bin of toys. And so for him to be able to spend Christmas and with my family and be part of a family and see so much love being crossed a table,
mm-hmm.
Was beyond special for him. But we never even realized the impact that it had on him until many, many years later.
Right, right. Well, really, that's one of the reasons I think this is such an appropriate Christmas story, is because the holiday is about Jesus, the light of the world, coming into our lives, and you and Maurice really became those lights to each other. You know, you just talked about how it affected him. How did those dinners affect you? Was it eye-opening for you, too, to get this different perspective on life and, like I said, the things a lot of us take for granted?
You know, people used to say to me all the time that Maurice was so lucky to have met me, and I would always respond, I was so lucky to have met Maurice,
mm-hmm.
because Maurice really gave me this gift. Not only was he a child that I wanted so much to have on my own, because our friendship really was beyond just a friendship, but what he gave me was the ability to look at my own childhood,
mm-hmm.
and to appreciate the blessings that I did have as a child. And you know, when we look at both of our lives, we both feel so fortunate because I gave him the chance to look at a life beyond the one that he knew, and he gave me the opportunity to look at my own life and to really kind of count the blessings that I did have in my life. And, you know, my hope with the children's book is that children early on, because the book is targeted for children ages 4 through 8, and I think even as high as 10 works really well,
mm-hmm.
how we all, even when you're that young, you have the ability to make a difference. You can share goodness, and you can help change the lives of people around you. That one small act of kindness doesn't have to be huge. Even the smallest ones that children can do are acts of kindness.
Yeah. I'm talking to Laura Schroff. Her children's book is called An Invisible Thread Christmas Story. It is a true story. She co-wrote it with Alex Trzeniowski, and it's illustrated by Barry Root. You mentioned earlier, before we got on air, that you travel around to and you talk about the book, you talk about the story. What is reaction to the sharing of this story like?
You know, when the book came out, I had no idea of what to expect, but mm-hmm. I never could have imagined that it would resonate with hundreds of thousands of people all across the country and actually even now around the world. And probably what I love to do most is speak at schools, because I can see how children's and teens, their wheels turn and they think about it. And what I do with every session, particularly for the younger, you know, anywhere from the children's book now and even with my An Invisible Thread, is I talk to the students. Okay, let's take some time and let's talk about what you think are acts of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me to hear young people talk about what they think are acts of kindness. You know, things as small as if someone is sitting in the lunchroom and they're sitting by themselves, to invite them over to a table to join other students for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
To smile, not look down, and when you look at someone, smile at them. It's amazing to me, but I not only speak really at schools, but I'm speaking a lot at charity organizations, corporate organizations, and the idea that I'm sharing not only our story, but spreading the thought of kindness and how we all have the ability to make a difference.
Yeah.
If we're willing to open up our eyes and hearts to our surroundings. I think, like, my life today and Maurice's life today would be so different if I didn't turn around and go back.
Yeah. So the Christopher motto that's imprinted on your Christopher Award, it's better to light one candle than curse the darkness. Was that a philosophy you subscribed to before, or was it kind of made clear through this relationship with Maurice?
You know, I have to honestly say that I think that it has all evolved,
mm-hmm.
you know, over years. I never could have imagined that I would be given this blessing to be able to talk about kindness all across the country. You know, I'd love to say that I woke up one morning and thought, you know, I think this is what I want to do. It's amazing to me how, you know, Jesus and God have taken me in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say to Maurice all the time, there are so many people in this world that do good. There's so much goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we tend to focus on what's bad, but there is so much goodness. But for some reason, on this huge pile of goodness, you know, God picked our story out and has given us this incredible, the chance to be able to tell our story and make a difference.
Yeah.
It's incredible to me. I'm amazed by it.
Yeah.
And there's not a day that goes by that I don't count my blessings. But
yeah.
The truth is, we can all make a difference.
Sure. Absolutely. Did this, you mentioned God, did this experience with Maurice, did it impact your perception of God? Because, you know, sometimes people are raised with certain images of God, and it's like, you know, God is going to punish you for this or that, and it's, you know, sometimes the love is left out of it. Did this give you a different impression of God?
Well, you know, I was brought up Catholic,
mm-hmm.
And as a child growing up Catholic, you know, we, you know, my mother was very, my mother was religious.
Mm-hmm.
But what I remember so much about my mother was enormously spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that I am a very, very spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that God does work in strange ways and that, you know, he is with all of us
mm-hmm.
every day. And he just is. And you have to believe that. You know, I say to students all the time that if you're having a really hard day, have faith. It is your faith that will get you through your difficult times.
Yeah.
And it's your faith that will always bring you back to your good days.
Yeah.
So I see myself as enormously spiritual.
Right. I'm Tony Ross, and I'm talking to Laura Schroff about her children's book, An Invisible Thread Christmas Story. So tell us a little bit about Maurice today. How have you seen him change over the years? How did he grow into the person that you knew he had the potential to be?
I think he grew into his person that he is today because he really wanted a different life.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted the life that my sister Annette and my brother-in-law Bruce and his children, their children had.
Yeah.
He wanted a family. Now, he didn't always know he wanted a family. Before he met me, he used to hang out at a local gas station, and gas station Mike once said to him, "You know what, kid, if you continue to go down the road that you're going, by the time you're 18, you're either going to be on drugs, dead, or in jail." And
wow.
He always believed that that was his lot in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he started to experience what it was like to be a part of a family and to see how families reacted and interacted to each other, it was what he really wanted. You know, today Maurice, just so hard to imagine because he's 41 years old, and he has 7 really wonderful, beautiful children. You know, he's been married to Michelle for over 20 years.
Wow.
And the thing that I'm most proud of, he works in construction,
mm-hmm.
but what I'm most proud of is he broke a cycle of generations. His children will never know from drugs and violence or hunger
mm-hmm.
the way that he did. And his children's children will even be that much further removed from it.
Right. So just being in that situation that he grew up in, it is not a life sentence or a death sentence, as may be. He made the choice to get out of it with a little help from you, a little help and guidance from you. So, you know, there are probably a lot of other Maurices out there right now. So for people listening who may see that kind of kid, what would you recommend to them? What should they do for that kind of child?
Throw a lifeline. You know what? We all have the ability to throw a lifeline to someone in need.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that if you throw that lifeline, the likelihood is that that person will grab hold of it and they won't let go. Now, I'm not really sure if I threw that lifeline or Maurice, but one thing we know for sure is that we've both held on to it. And again, you know, when An Invisible Thread came out, I got an email from a man in Arizona, and he said that he read my book and he cried. And a couple of weeks later, he was in a grocery store, and a young woman with 2 small children had just bagged all of her groceries. And when she went to pay for the groceries, her credit card was declined. He said the look of hopelessness on her face was just incredible. He said, "I thought about your book and realized I don't have to feed the world,
mm-hmm.
but I can help this one person." And I do believe that everybody, if they're willing to just open their eyes, they'll see a person in need. And one small act of kindness can make a difference.
And as an author, that story must have made you feel really good.
As an author, it's one of my favorites. But there's so many stories that I've received, and that's the part about it that I do feel enormously blessed, because people share their own Invisible Thread stories with me all the time. The fact that there is a children's book out today, and, you know, really my hope is that children will learn from a very early age that they can share kindness. They can actually change lives, but they have to be willing to want to make a difference and know that they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that An Invisible Thread Christmas Story does show in a very real life kind of way how you can make a difference. I read the book to a friend's daughter, and she was 5 years old, and when she got done with the book, she said, "I have to show you something." I said, "What's that?" And she went over to her, this big chest, and she threw the pillows onto the floor, and she opened it up, and she said, "Look at how many toys I have.
Mm-hmm.
I can give some of these toys away." And I was like, "You know what, Lila? That is such a good idea." I said, "Even if you just give a few toys away, you're making a difference."
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I've been talking with Laura Schroff. She is the author of An Invisible Thread Christmas Story. And like we heard today, this book is really about acts of kindness. It's going to inspire kids to perform acts of kindness, and maybe the adults, too, who read the book with them. It's a true story based on Laura's real experience, helping a young boy named Maurice, giving him the lifeline that she knew he needed. And he gave her a lifeline, too. They were helped each other. They brought light to each other's lives. And that's why this is such a great Christmas story, really something everybody should get for their kids. Put it under the tree or get it for them earlier in the month so they can read it before Christmas. But it's called An Invisible Thread Christmas Story. And Laura, thanks so much for sharing your story with us today.
Tony, thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show. I am so touched and so honored, and to be a part of Christopher Close Up really means a lot to me on a lot of different levels, because it's an honor to be on your show. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure having you on, Laura.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
In a world with millions of distractions, it's all too easy to lose sight of God in the midst of housework or homework or a hard day at the office. Yet God continues to speak to you, even in your busiest or most distracted moments. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Listening When God Speaks. It shares stories about people who have learned to recognize God's voice in their lives and offers advice on how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Listening When God Speaks, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.